Well, I'm excited for what God's going to do tonight. Thank you, everybody who is here, and thank you, Josh. I'm looking forward to what God's put on your heart to share with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Alex, Tyler, Devine, thank you for the invite. I greatly appreciate it. This is something that I've felt for a long time. God's been calling me to. I've had the opportunity to speak through the years, youth. If you don't know me, my name's Josh Threet. My name's spelled really weird, but you say it like three with a T on the end. Just keep that in mind, Threet. So, more importantly, though, I'm here to share about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about all these people up here. It's about Jesus. Everything that we do, everything that we are is about Jesus. So I am actually on staff at a church on the other side of town, Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm in the Connections ministry there. So basically, if you're looking for a church home, you come to me. I'm kind of the roadmap, so to speak. But over the past, and that's a great way. I love serving there. I love doing that. But over the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, God's really been dealing with me on the call to an evangelistic type of ministry. So who is Wake? That's who we are. That's what we are. We come and we do and we go. And I was talking to Chase's dad and earlier and just telling him, talked to a pastor, had the privilege to be able to talk to him yesterday, to be able to go and give pastors, give worship teams some time. And so thank you for the invite to be able to come and do this. Guys, this team up here, I mean, are they great or what? I mean, I'm a little partial, right? But that team, God has assembled some super talented people, and I'm thankful to call them my friends, my family. We're all family. Some of them are actually my family, but we're family. Yeah, they can come too. Come on. Y'all come too. But here we are. We're super excited to be here. This is technically our first event as a group all together. We've played. We've done ministry together. A lot of the people that you see up here came through youth. So, again, it's just a good thing. It's a cool thing that God's done and He's put together. There's so many things. I could tell you the story. I won't bore you with it, but I could tell you the story of how God has put together this particular ministry, Wake Ministries, in ways that I can't pull off, ways that I can't do. And I won't bore you with the details, but ask me about it, because I'd love to share what God's doing in that ministry. So Alex came to me just a few weeks ago and said, hey, would you be interested in speaking on Friday night? And I said, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity, like you've already heard me say. But he said, think about the promise of hope. And that's what we're talking about this weekend, is the promise of hope. Hope Rising Ministries, Jesus is our hope. If you don't know that, if you came here tonight and you've lost that, or you don't know that, if maybe you're watching online, maybe this video finds you way down the road somewhere, somebody shares it. Jesus is your hope. Listen, you can put your hope in so many different things. I'm spoiler alert for tonight's message, but Jesus is your hope. That's why we're here. So I brought in my boat. I get a little loud sometimes, y'all. If it gets too loud, cover your ears. So I like boats, okay? I brought my boat. Brought a boat with me tonight. This boat here is a super, I mean, it's a kayak in its best form, right? But I like a boat that's got a motor on it too, right? I like going out. I like working out. I like doing the kayak. But I like a boat that's got a motor on it. God blessed us with the opportunity for our family. We got rid of some stuff a couple of years ago. And we were like, hey, let's spend some family time together. Pull our family back in together. It's been a huge blessing. And God really just, he allowed us the opportunity to find something that we could afford super cheap. And we spend a lot of time out there on it. But I love a boat. Now, one thing that I've always loved about having it is either in the morning, sometimes we'll go to the lake, or we've gone and we've camped with some friends or something, and I love going out in the morning. I remember one time in specific, right after we got it, I woke up early in the morning, and my wife's name is Love. If you don't know her, she's super cool. She's an awesome lady. But she woke up. I woke up one morning really. It's like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got up. We were with some friends of ours, and she said, what are you doing? And I'm like, she said, you don't have to wake up early. I'm like, I know, but I want to wake up early. So I went out, and I went out to the boat, and the water was just glass, man. I love being out on the boat when the water's like that, just because there's a calm like there's no other. And I love that time. One of the things that I absolutely hate in a boat is when you go out on the water and the wind's blowing and it's just crazy and you're beat to death whenever you come off of the lake. It's still a good trip to the lake, but man, it's just a totally different vibe. So I love a boat. I brought this because I'm a visual guy. If I see something, it sticks. You can talk to me all day long. You can tell me. You can try to do this, do that. But if you give me some kind of a visual, man, I'll remember something like that for years and years to come. But I brought this so that hopefully it'll be some kind of a visual to you. So I'm going to step in the boat. And this thing right here can get a little shaky. And obviously, I'm not on water right now, right? But it can get a little shaky. And if I'm in the water, I got to tell a little funny, okay? This will give you a little insight if you don't know me as to who I am deep down inside, deep down in my heart as a person. We're out on the lake a couple weekends ago, and I looked over at my son, Gabe. He's back there on sound, and we were cruising around, and I said, "You think we should get close to those kayakers? Kind of throw them for a little bit, you know?" And then there's some people on a paddleboard. They were up there and they're paddling. I was like, "You think we should get close to them?" I won't do that to them, you know, but that's too, I like to mess with people. I'm a prankster, I'm a jokester, so I like to mess with people. But it got me to thinking, when Alex talked about the promise of hope, God has taken me to a place in my life to where, man, I've been through some tough times. They could have been worse, okay? Let me say that. They could have been worse. But God has taken me through some really, really tough times. And I know that there's people in this room right now that have been through tough times. You may be going through one right now. Let's be real, right? I'm a real kind of guy. If you can't be real with each other, then what are we even doing, right? Church is a place for the sick and the broken. Church is not just a place for everybody to put on that smile whenever they step out in the parking lot and pretend or whatever. Somebody came here tonight. Somebody's listening online. That's going through a tough time. That's been through a tough time. Got me to thinking. So who in here has ever been helped by someone? Who in here has ever been helped by someone? Yep. Another question for you. Who in here has ever been hurt by someone? Man, the hands, for some reason, the hands kind of went up a little bit faster when I said who's been hurt by someone. It was like an instant. Because we all know that, right? Shake your head. It's okay to interact with me. I love interaction. I love for people to talk back whenever I speak. The fact that people help, but also the fact that people hurt, also makes us go through some of those tough times. So it made me think, again, my mind's wrapped around this thought, and it's a Bible passage. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. I'm building up, right? There's some people, Cole, come up here for a second. This is Cole. He's our bass player. Everybody give Cole a hand. Cole's awesome. To grab the paddle. Stand in the boat. Don't tip over, okay? Paddle. All right. So right, yeah, everybody, Cole's awesome. Cole, you're great at that. Awesome. Good job. All right. So you can paddle. And if this is a two-person boat, right? I didn't have a longer kayak. Sorry. Got to pretend here for a second. But if you can paddle, what happens when I do this and I ask Jada to come up? Actually, no. I want somebody that I don't know. Somebody help me. Somebody throw up a hand. Right there, Jeremy, my man in the back. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. In case y'all don't know, Cole's got long hair too, so y'all are the two longest hair guys in the room. I like it. Virtual Jesus is in the room. I'm just kidding. So Cole, take a step forward.
Oh no.
I'm not gonna necessarily okay, stand up in the boat, man. Have at it. All right. So, Cole, let's pretend right now that you're paddling, right?
Yep.
Paddle. What happens if he paddles with you?
It helps,
right? What happens if he
It helps.
Yep. It helps. But what happens if he starts paddling against you?
It hurts.
That's right. It'll hurt. It'll take us back into the opposite direction. Thank you, guys. So here's what I want to talk about, right? Cole trusted that I got it, that boat wasn't going to tip over. Why? Why do you think Cole trusted that boat wasn't going to tip over? What, Savannah? I did it first, right? I took the heat. If I had fell flat on my face, y'all would all laughed. We would have all laughed. Everything would have been good, and we could have gone home. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is bigger than Sunday, and we could have gone home because it would have been over. I couldn't have recovered from that. But because I stood up in it, Cole had the strength to stand up in it. Okay? Jeremy then saw Cole do it and me do it and knew Jeremy wasn't really going to get embarrassed. So Jeremy, we don't know each other. We met 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Jeremy comes up here, stands in the boat, right? Hand in the paddle. Jeremy was kind enough not to hit you in the back of the head. Okay? He kind of flinched one time, and I kind of caught him, and he looked like he was, you know, kind of joking around. But, it's because they had confidence, trust, and faith to step into the boat because I had done it first. So we've got some kayaks at home. This is a borrowed boat, okay? I'm gonna break it down real quick. That's a borrowed boat from a friend, a good friend of ours. Our kayaks at home, number one, there was about 6 wasp nests in it. I got to get those out. But they are not stable like this one is. So I couldn't use those as an example. I had to go find something that was more stable. Did y'all hear that? I had to go find something that was more stable. Somebody here came in here tonight to find something that's more stable. Number one. Okay, so let's talk about this. People can help. They can help you row your boat. They can push you along. People can also start drilling holes in your boat when you're not looking. They can hurt. Let's go to God's Word. That's where Jesus walks in. So if you got your Bibles with you, this is not going to be up on the screen. I would rather keep your attention and try to drive the point home. I'd rather you have your Bible or your phone or whatever that turns out to be. Grab in, look in. Let's look into God's Word. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. So Jesus has been speaking, he's been teaching parables, and he says, okay, I got to get away from the crowds. Pastors in the room, we love our churches, right? We do. Let's be transparent. We love our churches. But sometimes, man, when we get home, we fall over, don't we? Whenever we speak a message, man, we try to put our all in. That's the way I feel. I feel completely drained whenever God gives me an opportunity, but it's completely drained because I'm pouring out everything He's poured into me. That's the other thing that I want to make sure everybody in the room and everybody on the line understands. Whatever I'm up here talking about, God's already been dealing with me about. I can't speak unless it's from the overflow. Jesus calms a storm. That's what we're going to read about. Read with me. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." He had to get away from the crowds. He needed some alone time. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. In the boat, there were also other boats with him. So some people did follow. But then it says a furious squall or a furious storm comes up. The waves broke over the boat. It was so that the boat was nearly swamped. So the waves are crashing. Things are kind of going crazy. Don't forget now, Jesus is in the boat with some of his disciples. Many of his disciples were former fishermen. He asked them to leave that life and come with him. The disciples probably knew it's not real smart to get out on a boat at the end of the day. You kind of do that in the morning so you don't get stuck out there at night in the dark, whatever. The Bible doesn't really describe and tell us that it was at night or it was dark, but it says later that day, the evening came. You can only imagine it's about to start closing down. The sun's going to go down. It's going to get dark. But the disciples are probably smart enough to go, "What is he doing?" But they go, right? They go. So the storm comes. Jesus was in the stern at the back of the boat, and he's sleeping on a cushion. Storm is so bad, that later on you're going to read the disciples start getting scared. Jesus is over here asleep, right? Storm's not woken him up. He's totally fine with what's going on. He's exhausted. He's tired. Which, side note, sidebar, shows the real human side of Jesus, which I think is just really cool. I love stories where it shows us the human side of who Jesus was. That Jesus, although Jesus is the greatest, Jesus is bigger than Sunday, Jesus still had a human side and he needed his rest. Okay? My phone just went blank on me. Sorry. So the disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? What do you think?" Do you really think that Jesus cared if they drowned? Yeah, absolutely. He wouldn't ask them to go get in a boat. If Jesus is all-knowing, he knew there was a storm coming. He knew he was about to teach even more, even though he was tired and needed to sleep. Jesus still knew he needed to teach. And he knew what was about to come. And so Jesus still says, "Hey, let's go." So in the midst of Jesus saying, "Let's go," he falls asleep. They wake him up. "Don't you even care if we drown?" He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Two things to notice there. Jesus doesn't say, "Hey guys, everything's good. Everybody chill out. Everything's okay." Jesus says, "Be still." The thing that I want you to hear in that story is Jesus was proven to them, to the disciples, "I could tell you to calm down." Y'all ever heard the saying, no part in calm down has anyone ever calmed down? Husbands, tell your wife to calm down and see what happens. I promise you it's not going to go too well, right? So it's that mentality of, hey, everybody chill out. Well, but it's an automatic reaction. Jesus doesn't tell them. Jesus just turns around and says, "Be quiet. Be still. Peace. Be still." But then Jesus calls them out. And I love how Jesus calls people out whenever we're in the wrong. Jesus has called me out before. If you've never been called out by Jesus, man, it's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. If you're within the sound of his voice, it's coming. So he says, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down and it was completely calm. The Bible doesn't say in a few minutes. The Bible goes, and I read through tons of different versions of God's word, different translations. Instantly it quiets down, which is the opposite of showing Jesus' human side. It's showing Jesus' his all power, his almighty strength that he has. It shows that in that same moment. Then Jesus says this. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" That song we just sang, the band has no idea that I've been wrestling with this for the past 3 or 4 weeks since you and I had supper together. God, what do you want me to speak on? The promise of hope. Alex even said it himself. He said, the Bible is hope. You can speak from anything you want to speak about. And he's absolutely right, because Jesus is our hope. But what point did Jesus want me to make? And I think he really drew me into something that is so strong in my life right now, because he knows that it's kind of my getaway. It's my go-to place whenever I can get away and get out by myself and get out on the water. And I was just led straight to this story. And I was like, okay, Jesus, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll speak. 2 weeks ago, last week, I didn't know, because I had my mind wrapped around other things. I said, what's going to be the song right before I come up to preach? And it was Firm Foundation. I put my faith in Jesus, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad. And that's the point that he was trying to make to the disciples. Hey, I'm right here. I am with you. Yeah, the storms around you are raging. The things in life to us can chase us down and can seem like they're going to swamp us and swallow us. Jesus could easily say, trust me, and he does. But I've actually seen Jesus calm those storms around me. I don't know if you can testify to that or not, but I can testify Jesus has calmed storms around me that I can't calm. I have nothing to do with, and it's gone. And I can't do anything to make it happen. All I can do is say, oh my, are you kidding? That's how, That's amazing. And I'm left in awe. So going on into the story, Jesus asked him, he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Here's what the disciples said. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." One translation that I read said, even the wind and the waves bow down to him. Obey him. With a simple peace, be still, he calmed everything around them so that they could see and realize their lack of faith, because he calls them out on it, but that they could trust him. Who is this man? They've seen miracles already. They've seen what he's been able to do. They've seen the life change he's brought to people, but they were still in doubt. Who is this man that can do that? As I was studying this, I just felt strongly. I don't know if I say Jesus spoke to me. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But what I do know is this thought kept resounding: is there's somebody who their faith has pulled back. There's somebody who their faith may be non-existent where it used to be existent. There's somebody who needs the storms in life for Jesus to calm them down, and they need to come back to Jesus. Number one, there's somebody in this room too. There's somebody within the sound of voice. There's somebody that this video, listen, go home and find these different links and share these videos. Not for us, not for me, not for Hope Rising, but for Jesus, period. For Jesus. Share it, because there's somebody that'll hear it. There's somebody that'll get life changed through it even further down the road. The disciples were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I said a minute ago that the disciples were out there, and Jesus was there to teach them something. So even when the disciples were right beside Jesus, they were walking hand in hand with him. They were right in stride with him. They were still learning, and they were still being taught in that moment. And I find myself sometimes, let me be real with you again for a minute, I find myself sometimes more distant. Right, I'm a Christian. I've got Jesus. Jesus lives in my life, and he's the controller of my life. We're human. We find ourselves at times, work or stress or family or children or whatever it is, we may grow a little more distant away from, you know, have some distance from Jesus. But Jesus constantly calls us into stride, into step with him, to learn, to be taught, to grow. What I saw in the story too, and what I think we can pull from God's word, is the disciples started to get scared and get afraid, and negativity crept in. They had just left the shore where all this teaching and all the positive, and they were probably tired too. They were probably tired as well, but negativity started to creep in. What's negative in your life? Who is negative in your life that keeps you from a stronger relationship with Jesus? Jesus squashed that negative thinking with one simple motion: be still. He squashed all that negativity, and all of a sudden they were going, "Who is he? What? He's got that kind of power? What?" Alex said the promise of hope. Ultimately, Jesus is our hope. Jesus was their hope that night, and they saw it. Don't you even care? Don't you even care if we get battered and drowned? And don't you even care if we go under? Yeah, I care. Jesus is our hope. That's what Jesus told them. Tyler, just a few moments ago, right before the service, he said, "Man, this chaotic world we live in, man, we just need some peace and Jesus. And man, he just calms all kind of stuff." And I said, "Bro, that's what I'm speaking about. That's what I'm speaking about tonight." And he and I both had a spirit-filled moment back there in just a blink of an eye. Somebody here, maybe it's Tyler. Tyler, maybe that's you, bro, that needs the chaos of life calmed around you. You know, I mean, I need it. I need it on a daily basis. My wife can tell you, man, life's been tough here lately for me with work and different things going on. It's been chaotic. But Jesus says, what I told you a minute ago, Jesus has really begun to say, you got to trust me. You got to give me that. You got to have faith in me that I'm going to squash that storm. Jesus took that and did that. He'll calm whatever is around you. He'll calm whatever's in you, even if you keep yourself worked up. Because let's be real again, we can all get worked up, right? We can all get ourselves worked up about different things. He'll calm it, but then he'll show you he's in control. He may call you out in the process, but he'll show you he's in control and that he can be trusted. Don't have anything wrong with a pastor giving 3 points, 4 points, whatever it is. I got 1 point tonight. If you walk away with this point, man, when the Holy Spirit gave me this, I literally jumped up and down. And it brings tears to my eyes right now. Because I'm telling you, it just filled me up in that moment while I'm studying this. It filled me up. Walk away with this one thing tonight. Don't fear the storm more than you trust Jesus. Don't fear the storm more than you trust Jesus. Man, I see so many people walk around in fear. I see so many people in my own life. I see so many people walk around in this fear that the world pours into our lives. The fear that what's to come? What's this going to look like? Oh my gosh, we just came out of a season of total fear in this world. I feel like people are on edge and they live in fear every single day. Man, if there's anything God can do in us is help us out of that fear, man. If he can help us out of that fear, if he can help those disciples out of the fear, he can help us out of that fear as well. Don't fear the storm. Don't fear the storm in life more than you trust Jesus. I see examples of people in my own life around me who get caught up in this fear of what do you think will happen? I don't care what happens. I really don't. I don't care. Man, if Jesus came back right now, I hope I see all of y'all. I hope I see every one of you. I hope you see me. I really do. I don't really fear. My wife will tell you, I kind of live life and I just go, man. I just go. I have healthy fears that my family will be safe. I have healthy fears that my kids, whenever they take off and they drive and they go here and they go there, God has blessed me. If you don't know, this is my son back here behind me. And he is devoted into a life of worship ministry right now. And man, he goes all over the place. And he goes from church to church and here, there, and everywhere. And I had to just give that to God a long time ago and say, God, he's yours. Use him. Protect him. I have a healthy fear, okay? I see that as a parent, as a healthy fear, but I know that Jesus is bigger. I know that Jesus has something greater for that kid right there and for my son back there running sound and for my daughter over here. I know Jesus has something bigger for those kids than I can ever create. Jesus has something bigger for every single person in this room. Jesus has something greater for every single person in this room. I don't know where you're at tonight. I have no clue what you came in here with. I saw this example. I wasn't even going to say this. Here it is. Jesus didn't give me this till right now. But I've seen this example, and it was taught to me by the youth pastor that I first dug into and started serving beside. And he had a book bag on. He had a book bag on. Man, whenever he walked in there, that book bag, I mean, he was like this right here. And it's again, it goes back to that visual thing. I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten it. He brought that book bag in and he stood up there. And I'm talking, he stood up there for longer than what I've been standing up here. My man looked like he was struggling by the end of that service. And when he got done, he took that book bag off, and man, he threw it down, and it made the loudest noise on the stage. I don't think he had a mic on the stage, but man, it sounded like he had a mic. I mean, it just, boom, you know? And I'm going to ask the same question. Somebody came in here with some baggage tonight. Somebody came in here with more weight than they can carry on their own. Somebody came in here with more stress, more fear about whatever. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. somebody that watches this online, I hope that, I pray that this finds you. This finds you just at the moment when Jesus can speak to you right now like he is to somebody in this room. I pray, not Josh 3, but I pray that Jesus is speaking into you right now. Let go of the fear. Trust me. Have faith in me. Why do you still not believe? I've got it covered, is what Jesus is saying. Why do you still not believe what I tell you all throughout this book? I feel like that's the question Jesus wanted me to ask tonight. Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Where is your faith? If Jesus can call his disciples out onto a boat and know that something's ahead, don't you think he knows that something's ahead in your life too? In my life? Why wouldn't I trust him? Why wouldn't I trust him? Let me say this question too. If those disciples saw what he did and started asking the question, where do you think their faith was whenever they went to the next step and to the next step and to the next step? Man, this guy really is who he says he is. He's showing us the proof. He's proven himself in front of us. And I'm telling you, if your eyes aren't open to it, Jesus proves himself in front of each and every one of us every single day. I can look back on the past 20, 25 years of my life. I don't know. I don't know. Part of my testimony is clearly God put me on a road one night. Wasn't going to tell you this either, but God put me on a road one night. Maybe somebody here needs to hear this. My man back there, he knows the story because he was there. He saw it all happen. He put me on a road one night. I was living a life of absolute hell, wasn't we? So many memories and stories came out of that time in my life. But man, I'm thankful God rescued me. I'm thankful God rescued me because he clearly, that night, put me on a path to say, you're going to keep going down this road? You're going to keep doing the same old things you've been doing? Or are you going to make this turn that I'm giving you? Man, he rescued me that night. Travis, I don't even know if you know that or not. That was the night he rescued me. That was the night he called me back to him. Shot at, 5 holes in the side of my truck. 5 bullet holes in the side of Josh Street's truck. Scared me to death. Scared me to death, man. I went home shaking like this right here. Within 6 feet of a man holding a gun, and he said, are you going to keep going down this road, or are you going to take this turn? And luckily, I was already in the swing and making the turn, and man, I looked back on that in my life, and I said, God, you were already calling me that way. You were already calling me to follow you. You were already calling me to come and turn that road. I don't really know what would have happened to me if I'd have went down the other road and kept on the same path. I feel like he would have still rescued me at some point in time too, because he's had a clear call on my life since then. But man, one thing I can say is I'm glad I gave my life to him. I'm glad I gave everything that I had to him. I'm glad he called me back home to be in relationship with him. If you don't know that call, maybe he's calling you tonight. If you've known that call, but you've steered a different direction, maybe he's calling you to hang that right. Maybe he's calling you to take that turn and follow him. Maybe he's calling you back home. Let me pray for us. Father, I love you. God, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for everything you've done in my life. God, I can look back, just like the song says, song that's near and dear to my heart. I can look back and see that you're faithful. But God, I can look ahead knowing that you're able. And God, that's my prayer for somebody in this room tonight, for everybody in this room, but for somebody specifically that needs to hear that message. God, I pray that they realize that their faith and their hope in you, God, that they can put it wholly, full-fledged, everything they have into you. And God, even when they do that, the enemy comes to attack. I pray that they know that their hope still lies in you. I pray that they know that they can trust you and that you will reach out your hand and you will calm those storms in their life, whatever those storms are. Father, I pray more than ever, God, that you would touch the hearts and lives of people within our reach, God, in our sphere of influence, wherever that is. Father, that you would make a way for people to accept you, God, when they don't see any way. God, when they're hopeless. God, we're talking about hope this weekend, but God, people are hopeless. You know that. And I pray that you are already creating ways. God, I've been praying for this event for a couple of months now, that you would be making a way for people tonight to open up their hearts to you, whether that's for a first time or, God, whether that's to come back home to you. God, to open up a door in their life that they've closed off, that you're ready to step back into and take over. Father, I pray right now. I pray right now the power of your Holy Spirit would fill this place. Doors open, you have no boundaries. God, I pray right now that you would fill up that person's heart and life. Father, I pray that you're making moves right now that, God, nobody will ever be able to explain except for only God, because only you will get the glory, period. Help us to not fear the storm more than we trust you. Help us to not fear the storm more than we trust you. If you're dealing with something tonight, I want you to look up at me. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. It's very simple. It's one bold look. I want you to look up at me. I want to pray for you. I also want you to realize that you need prayer. If you need to make some kind of decision in your life tonight, not going to embarrass you, not going to do anything, I'm here. I'll be at the back of the room. I am ready to talk to you. I'll give you my name, my number, give you my card. Alex, I'm sure, will be the same way. Tyler, the same way. We're here for you. Let us know how we can help you. Father, for the people that looked up at me tonight, Father, I pray in this moment that you give them everything that they need. Father, nothing that we can do or say is stronger than what you can do. God, you are almighty. You are all powerful, and you know every single detail about what somebody's going through here tonight. Father, I pray right now in this moment that you answer their need very specifically, God, and then you will continue to answer that need and show them you are ready to calm anything that they've got going on. God, we love you. We thank you for this night. God, we thank you for all that you do. God, let us lift your name in a mighty way everywhere we go. Let us lift your name in everything that we do. In Jesus' name. Y'all stand up and worship one more time with us. Thank you.
as we've been talking about this end, is that it's about sharing the promise of hope. Not some false, temporary hope that cannot sustain, but it's about sharing a promise of hope that will carry us through the roughest and darkest storms in our lives. Just like Josh shared tonight. And I love the passage of scripture that he walked through with Jesus and his disciples in the boat. Because it shows us many things, but it shows us that Jesus is the peace that we need in our lives. That it doesn't matter how skilled the disciples were at being fishermen, how many times they had gone through a storm in their life, they were afraid. And where did they go? They went to Jesus. Where do we go when we are afraid? That's the question for you to answer tonight. And I hope and I pray that that answer for you is straight to Jesus, just like the disciples. Because Jesus can do many things in our lives, but what he showed us in that moment, in that boat, and what he did for the disciples, he'll do for us. He can calm the circumstances that we find ourselves in. The storms that this life brings are not in control. Jesus is. He can stop the storm that we're in the midst of. But you know what else he can do? Jesus was asleep in the middle of the storm. We can also be asleep. We can be at peace in the midst of the craziest things that we go through. In the midst of feedback from speakers, we can be at peace. We can find a peace that this world doesn't understand. And our hope is in Christ Jesus. You see, and the great thing about this weekend, the promise of hope, the two words in there that matter the most is promise and hope. As Christians, both of those are certainties. Promise is a guarantee that you will do something or that someone will follow through. We have a promise from our God that in Christ we have a hope that never ends. A hope that is everlasting. A hope that is our firm foundation. As a church, we've been walking through a series leading up to this weekend called Firm Foundation. It's not something that we necessarily planned, but I believe that God is reminding us that in Christ Jesus, we have a firm foundation. In Him, we have a promise, and in Him, we have a hope. A hope that will calm any storm that we are in. A hope that will calm the storm that is in us, that gives us peace in Christ, our Lord and Savior. We'll be here again tomorrow night, same time, 6:30. My encouragement to you is that you come back, but bring someone with you that you know is in need of that hope, that you know is searching for that peace that is only found in Christ. We want to fill this place up. We want everyone who hears these messages, these songs this weekend, whether in person or online, to know the hope that is only in Christ. That they have a firm foundation no matter what they are walking through. I want to thank this ministry that is here with us, that is leading us in worship. I want to thank Wake for leading us. I want to thank Josh for teaching and sharing what God laid on his heart tonight. And I hope and pray that you know Christ is your Lord and Savior. That the peace that you have is everlasting. That you have a firm foundation. And you can stand inside the boat with confidence because you know that it's on and built on Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each and every person that is here. I thank you for those who are online who couldn't be here tonight and maybe they're watching later or maybe they're joining us live right now. Lord, everyone who is hearing this, I just pray, God, that you are moving, that you are breaking down walls that are holding us back from you, that you are breaking chains that are trying to hinder us from what you've called us to. God, unplug our ears that we may hear the direction you call us to, so that as Josh shared, we can make the turn when you tell us, that we can run back home to you when we hear your voice. Dear Lord, I pray that you draw us back here again tomorrow, that you bring us back Sunday, and that no matter what we're walking through, no matter where we go, and no matter how bad the storm is, that we have peace worshiped in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you everybody for coming. We really appreciate it. Let us know if there's anything that we can do for you. We have invite cards in the back if you want to take some with you and hand them out tomorrow before our service. Thank you. God bless. Be safe, and we hope to see you again.